Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Four Persons Podcast. To learn more about what we do, go to our show page at thefourpersons.com and our blog at thefourpersons.net. To call into today's show, the number is 515-602-9655. That number again is 515-602-9655.
Ministry. We are a registered 501c3, and those who are familiar with us know what we do. We have a outspoken religious message. We have our views, our personal views on the issues that we've made very well known. And tonight's guest, I really haven't had that much opportunity to really get into exactly where she is on all of those things. So we may agree on most of the issues or half the issues or a very few of the issues. I don't know. But I do know this. My faith leads me, and everyone that's a part of this Four Persons Apostolate would agree with this, that our faith leads us to draw out examples of people doing what we believe the gospel calls for. And it's no secret that we have been expanding. It's no secret that we have been growing. And during our first year that on Blog Talk Radio, we would have one top 10 show in the first year. That was our goal in the Christian category, that we would have one top 10 show. We had 15. So our growth has been far better than we thought. We're expanding into YouTube and Twitter and Spotify and iTunes and all of these different mediums. We're expanding. But we're still determined to hold to the core of what we are doing this for. And it's very, very important to us because we're trying to make a positive change in the world. So in the midst of all this expansion, being involved in all these different organizations that we're using to network and get our message out, I happen to come across some of these other organizations that I think are doing good work. And I came across this organization called Blessings Are Miracles. Right now, let me bring on Trish. Trish Knapp, welcome to the program. How are you doing tonight? If I can get the microphone on mute. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very well. So I was intrigued by what you are doing because the message of the gospel is, you know, what you do to the least of my brethren, you do unto me. And we are to reach out to those who are less fortunate. And one thing that I've learned in my life, Trish, is that sometimes people need great miracles and huge things to happen in their life, miraculous changes to happen in their life. And sometimes God just doesn't work that way. Sometimes God makes you wait for the really big miracles. And what he'll do in order to grow your faith and grow your patience and grow your trust is he'll give you a whole bunch of little miracles that keep you going until the big one arrives. And I think we're called to be facilitators of those little miracles. Sometimes it's not about what a person needs to completely change and transform their lives. Sometimes we can't give a person what they need to completely transform and change their lives. So we give them what they need today or tomorrow or for the short term to try to help them through. I think that's exactly what your ministry is doing. And I'd like to start with, what motivated you to start Blessings Are Miracles, and what is your vision for it?
The motivation behind it was actually I was pregnant with my twins that are now 3 years old. Me and my husband were in a hotel 2 weeks prior to having the babies. A friend of mine found a place that we could afford, and the community completely furnished our entire home, including baby items. And we got so much support and, you know, known resources that we still use to today, that when the twins started outgrowing things and we started not needing things, you know, I was like, well, I just don't want to, you know, give these or throw these things away or, you know, turn around and sell them or anything because they were given to me. So I decided to create a Facebook group where it was all free items called Blessings Are Miracles. And, you know, I had the vision for it to be in the long run what is pretty much exactly going on right now. It turned from a long-term goal into a short-term goal. Within a little over a year, we became an LLC, a 501c3 nonprofit, and we are now registered in the state of Missouri as a nonprofit as well. And, you know, we're right now, because we are new, we are working in what we think is the most severe emergency cases. In the last one, we helped a woman in the community that is caring for probably about 10 people within our household, and she had been in the hospital sick. She hasn't been able to work, and she was needing clothing items, household items, you know, hygiene products, food, everything. So we did several drops for her, and I was very lucky for another nonprofit out of Crystal City in Missouri called Secondhand Heroes to come in and help too, where we were able to go there and pick out items for this family and then be able to deliver them to her.
Wow. So do you see God's hand in this? Are you able to kind of see that you're attempting to do something and God just takes it in directions and levels that you really didn't foresee?
Oh, yes, definitely. Because like I said, the twins turned 3 this year. They were going to school, and I'm like, yay, mommy gets to go to sleep. And God said, no, mommy gets to do Blessings Are Miracles. And I'm excited. I'm thrilled about it. I've never been more motivated to do anything in my entire life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's a wonderful testimony. So to kind of review, you were in a very desperate situation. And
yes.
things looked kind of bleak, looked kind of hopeless. And some people stepped in and were your miracle. And now you want to kind of pay that forward.
Yes, and I want to, like, create a foundation for my babies to be able to do the same thing.
That's wonderful. What are their names?
Zoe and Robert Jr.
Zoe and Robert Jr. That's wonderful. I had a my son is named John Robert. I like that name. We have another caller. Let me bring this other caller on real quick. Your phone number is ending with 03. You're on the Four Persons. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm okay.
What's your name?
Stephanie Benhart.
How you doing, Stephanie?
How are you?
Doing good. Do you know Trish?
I do.
And what would you say about what about her work and what it is that she's doing?
I love the work she's doing. I'm very proud of her for it. Anybody in need, she helps pretty much with something. And I just think she's doing great.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So
I love you so much.
So tell me how the process would work. So you identify a family in need. Do they initiate the contact? They come to you and say, okay, these are our needs, and how does or would you go to them? How does the process work?
They actually reach out to us. The last case that I was speaking of, we just created our new website, and that was the first person who reached out to me over the website. But it was originally just the Facebook group, Blessings or Miracles. So it would be like through Messenger or something like that. They would reach out or even over the group or in the general group chat and say what their needs are. And then, like I said, there were certain situations where we stepped up. We're like, okay, you know, kids are involved here and things like that. You know, our focus a lot is, you know, to take care of the kids. That's a lot to do with it.
Okay, so walk me through a typical example of a family that approaches you and says that we have a need, and they identify what their needs are, and tell me how you respond. Kind of walk me through an example.
Okay, what we would do would be put out like a general post within the group stating what their needs are. And if anybody could donate, you know, with that, we would be doing a drop on this day. And we've noticed a lot within the community, the people that are in need also have limited to no forms of transportation. So we go around and we collect all the items donated within the community. And it's just from other members that are within, you know, Blessings or Miracles that we're working with right now, except for that other nonprofit that let us come in and help with the last case. And then we would collect the food and the clothing and whatever we could get to them. You know, we would do one drop or two drops, and that's just basically how it works. They reach out to us, and it's, you know, we're like, okay, we're going to help you. This is what we're going to do. We're going to set this up. And like I said, we gather clothing, hygiene products, all food, baby supplies, anything that you can basically name. We've even done furniture, you know, the way that my bed here was on top of a Ford Focus. So,
okay. So if a family in one area came forward with a need, and a family in another area said, yeah, we have that, you would facilitate going to pick up the item in the one location and delivering it to the other location. Am I following this correctly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So are you getting, I mean, obviously there are costs associated with that. I mean, your gas cost and things like that. Or is there anyone that's helping you? Are there any churches or other organizations that are helping you defray those costs?
There is not. Right now, everything that we are doing is out of pocket and the generosity of people within the group that would also help do the pickup and deliveries. We are, you know, our goal is to eventually get like a box truck or, you know, maybe like a full-size van that we can put shelving in to be able to store items to bring to people, but also at the same time be able to pick up the bigger, you know, furniture items that people have to donate to other people in need.
See, what I think is really neat about this, you're acting on faith. I mean, this is people, we talk to people all the time about what faith looks like. And faith is not simply an assent of belief or a statement of things that you attest are true. Faith is action, and you're stepping out in faith. You're taking the step, trusting that somehow or another God is going to fill in the blanks and make it work. I mean, it's really amazing what you're doing here, and I'm so inspired by this. So how large
yeah, exactly.
of an area? I'm sorry, what was that?
So far, he has definitely stepped in and done miraculous things. Like I said, we just at the beginning of this year was the LLC and nonprofit, all that. And it was just in a matter of minutes within the state of Missouri, 14 minutes we were approved. That's definitely God sent. Like it was, this is meant to happen.
Yeah. And I'm going to be, in full disclosure, I'm going to tell you that I have very much been where you are. I mean, I've been at desperate times in my life where I was absolutely at the end of my rope and didn't know what I was going to do, didn't know how I was going to survive. And I know this is not just our story. I know a lot of people have experienced this. So you could be forgiven, at least from the world's perspective, you could be forgiven of clutching everything that you can get your hands on, saying, okay, I have some money here. I can't afford to support anybody else. I can only afford to take care of myself because I don't know when the next hard time is going to come, but you've decided to do just the opposite. And then, like you said, that's where God does impossible things. I mean, this year I'm going to be going on a pilgrimage to Israel. If you'd have told me 2 years ago that I was going to be going on a pilgrimage to Israel as part of my 501c3, I probably would have recommended you be on medication if you would have told me that. And here it is happening. It's just impossible that it's happening, but it is happening. And, Trish, one thing I've learned in my life is that for God, impossible is just a starting point. He just, that's where he begins, at impossible. So how large of an area have you been able to help? How large is the radius of the area in Missouri that you're able to assist people?
Which actually crazy is there's people from Lake of the Ozarks, Cuba, Kansas City, St. Louis area is the main area that we're in, where we're actually branching out over into Illinois, where we've actually picked items up and dropped items off and things like that as well, closer to St. Louis on their end.
And because you are a registered 501c3, like we are, if people were able to donate to your ministry to help you defray some of these costs, those would be taxed. That would be a tax deductible donation. Have you sought the assistance of any of the area churches or charitable organizations or anything like that? Have you been attempting to get that or from online supporters? Or is
I've been attempting places. I haven't had any funding come in yet for that. I was able to get, you know, like half the funding to initially pay for the 501c3. So we were lucky on that end. That's, you know, where God stepped in because it happened that day. So that's how I knew, you know, it's going through. Well, that's just not the beginning, but, you know, but I have reached out. We are still looking for people, and I'm also working with my psychiatrist on possibly, you know, working at, like, he has a shaved ice truck, and working there, and just the funds that we come in, 30% of the time that I'm working will go to Blessings or Miracles. So I'll be working there just to, like, to fund Blessings or Miracles.
Okay. So you're actively pursuing ways to make this work, the same as we're doing with this with this group that we're at now. And it's interesting that you brought up your psychiatrist, because that's a big part of what caused us to form this group that we have. I have a very high degree of respect for the psychiatric profession when it's practiced by ethical people. And the problem is that in the psychiatric profession, there are a lot of unethical people. And and what happens is where that's really, really a difficulty is when you're talking about the struggle with addiction. And addiction is a monster. It's an absolute monster. And people struggle with addictions of all kinds. And my heart goes out to anyone who's really sincerely struggling to overcome an addiction, whether it be an alcohol addiction or a drug addiction or a gambling addiction or a sex addiction or whatever it is that they're struggling with. I'm talking about the person who's sincerely trying to escape that hell. And it is a hell because what's at the heart of an addiction is a person who can't cope with their life, a person who's undergoing some kind of trauma, some kind of pain or something from their past that they can't process and work through, and the pain is so much that they fall back to an anesthetic, so to speak. And there are too many doctors out there, healthcare professionals out there that just want to give you, take this medication. And that's all they want to do, give you a specific medication. They're not helping you. So all you're doing is you're going from one addiction to another addiction.
Now, the thing about my psychiatrist is I've actually been a recovering heroin addict since November 4th, 2017.
God bless you.
I found him, thank you, I found him through a thing called the bridge device. It was a device that you place behind your ear, and it helps like the receptacles of the brain that would say, you know, whenever you're in pain or, you know, you're withdrawing or something like that. So instead of being put on things like the methadone or Suboxone or something like that, this was a different approach that he was taking. I actually drove over an hour to see him when I first started seeing him years ago. So because of that exact reason.
But, and I'll be honest with you, in my family, bad psychiatry has really done colossal damage to my family, colossal damage. Because I have members of my family who have suffered tremendously traumatic experiences, and their counselors have basically pointed them in the direction of just revenge and cutting people out of your life. And I understand that there is a time and a place when someone is so toxic that you need to cut your relationship off with them. But when there are people who are honestly trying to have healthy family relationships, but they don't have those skills, they don't have that knowledge, they don't have those skills, it's a responsibility of the counseling profession to help those people through those problems, help them deal with the traumatic events that they've gone through and help them rebuild those broken relationships to the extent that all the parties are attempting to, you know, the old expression, you can't fix a boat when somebody's walking through drilling holes in the bottom of it. I understand that. But to the extent that two people are genuinely trying to solve the relationship between themselves but just can't figure out how, they're having difficulty communicating, what have you, don't you think that it's a psychiatric profession's responsibility to help them, to give them those skills, to teach them those things? And did you find that your psychiatrist helped you? in that respect, solving the life problems that you were not able to solve before.
I actually do believe that he has been able to help me, and that's why I've been with him and went back to him when I moved back to Missouri, and I went back to the same person because, you know, it's not just, I've seen you this month, here's your script, I'll see you again next month. He literally gives us, like, you know, our own slot while we're talking. If the time ends and we're still in the middle of talking, we're still in the middle of talking. He's just not going to say, you know, your time's over now, I'll see you next month, and things like that. And he's also given me, like, coping skills on top of pointing me, like, to therapists and things, you know, like that, that will also help, along with different groups and support systems like that.
Yeah, see, that's fantastic. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And so in that sense, he's been a miracle to you, hasn't he? He's giving you your life back. A life that was stolen from you by heroin and by all of the things that preceded the heroin, whatever they were, and I'm certainly not going to pry into that. But he's, for the first time in your life, you're now on a path where I know how to manage my life. I know how to, I'm in control of my life for the first time. And you're trying to share that blessing with other people. Am I right?
That is exactly what I want to do. And I want to show them that, you know, not only am I trying to share the blessing, but I want to show them, like, if I can do it, you can do it. Because this is, I would never expect it, like you said, 2 years ago. No, not me, not this. But, yeah. So,
you know,
definitely.
It's amazing because you just spelled out what I think is one of the most important distinctions. And that is the distinction between empathy and sympathy. And there's too many people today that want sympathy, that want you to feel sorry for them. Oh, poor me. You know, I'm so helpless. You have to do this for me because I can't do anything for myself. Or people who look down on other people in that respect. I have to manage your life because you're too stupid and helpless to manage your own life. Whereas empathy is respecting the dignity of the person and showing that you believe in the person. It's saying, look, I've been where you are and I know the way out, and I know, I believe in you and I believe you're strong, and I know that if I could make it out, certainly you can. That's
exactly
the difference between empathy and sympathy, and that's kind of where you're at, right?
Correct. Exactly.
And how receptive have people been to this? So it sounds like you're not just about delivering the food and delivering the furniture or what have you, although, you know, that's a big part of what you're doing, but that's not enough for you, right? You want to take it farther. You want to actually change their lives.
Yes, and I'm building a lot of great relationships. And, you know, one of my good friends that I've made, we helped her with getting out of a domestic violence situation and getting her on her own feet and showing her she can do it on her own and she doesn't need somebody else there with her. And, you know, so, yes, that's definitely, it's building people up too. Just, you can't just leave them there once you help them. You got to stay there. Like, you know, you got to give them that support that they're giving you. I'm not just, you know, expecting to go out and help this person, that person. I want to make relationships with these people.
Yeah. So you're looking to change lives. You're looking to give somebody a hand up rather than just a hand out.
Exactly.
And I just love that. I just think that is so wonderful. But I know that you probably in the area where you work, you probably encounter violence. There's a lot of violence. There's a lot of bad areas. How difficult of a situation is that? Have you felt endangered in any situations or threatened in any way?
I really have not personally. I've been through a lot in my past, and I can't say like I'm the toughest or the strongest person, but I have something that I just fear. I don't have it. I don't feel like anything I should be in fear of, because if I shouldn't be there, then God wouldn't have me there.
Wow. Wow. That's just such an incredible faith statement. Well, I mean, when you look at the very earliest believers, I mean, that was them, and they faced, you know, horrible persecutions and everything, but they just went forward boldly. And but you don't, Trish, do you see this in our society, or do you see society going the other direction? That doesn't society seem to be going kind of narcissistic and selfish and me, and it's going in the opposite direction, right?
It's very sad. Everything, I mean, the society itself is, it's very scary, you know. I will say that. It's a scary world that we live in, if that makes sense, whenever I say that I don't fear, though. But, you know, I just, as many people that I've found that are as good, that's helping, I feel like, you know, if we can get together and stand together as the good that we are, that we can overcome what it is and rebuild what is known to be like as a family, if that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. So the name of our group, the Four Persons, I'm sure you're probably wondering where that name came from. And
yes, sir.
We have many members that help out in different ways, and but the Four Persons was years ago. We had to send a family member to prison for 20 years. So when I tell you that I've been through some awful stuff, I have.
Yeah.
And my daughter, who was 19 years old at the time, we were struggling with the idea of her testifying against this monster. And finally I came to the conclusion, I saw her coming completely apart. And that's when I went to my counselor and I said, what do I do here? We've got to stop this. We can't put her on the stand. And the struggle was, she was 19 years old. She was an adult. And, you know, the answer that I kept getting back was, hey, it's her decision. She's 19. There's nothing that you can do. And my counselor was telling me just the opposite. John, trust your instincts here. You've got to stop this. You cannot allow her to testify. That attorney will tear her apart and make her relive all of the awful things all over again. So, you know, I said to her, what am I going to do? She's 19. I can't do anything. And that's when she said, John, she's 19 physically. And then she explained to me how each person is four persons. You're a physical person, a mental person, an emotional person, and a spiritual person. And she explained to me that emotionally, she's not 19. She's still that traumatized kid that these horrible things happen to. And one day I was opening my Bible, and I just happened to open my Bible to wherever I opened it up to, and it opened up to Mark chapter 12, and it was the greatest commandment. Do you know what the greatest commandment is? Are you there?
No.
Okay. The greatest commandment is, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, your whole mind, your whole soul, and your whole strength. And that is the four persons. And it's basically this idea that if any part of a person is not healthy, it's going to affect the whole person. And if you're going to try to help a person, you have to help all four persons. So I'm sure you've encountered that. You've encountered people who are dealing with emotional problems or mental problems in addition to, you know, spiritual problems and physical problems. Have you found that you're dealing with people that are experiencing a whole array of problems?
Yes, everything. And the one thing that I found that I'm real grateful for, I do have a lot of resources, and I am involved with groups, so I can actually get them involved in the groups as well, so they, you know, they can get in, they get more comfortable, and they can talk about their traumas.
So it's not just that you're supplying for their material needs, but you'll put them in touch with, like, somebody who can help them with counseling, somebody who could help them, like maybe grief counseling if they've experienced a loss or something along those lines, right?
Yes, sir.
Where are you finding these resources? You said you've got a lot of resources that you can rely on. Where are you finding these, just by networking, just by Facebook groups and those types of things?
A lot of them came from my therapist. She got me connected with a lot of people. Then with the resources I had, like I said, whenever like I was in need, a lot of people came with me with resources. And then just from the past year with the different people within the group and from networking and things like that, you learn a lot of different things and, you know, different places in these areas that, okay, if this person lives here, you know, there's a birthright in this area that can help them with diapers, or, you know, there's your other mother in Union, a pregnancy assistance center in Washington, you know, things like that. Mary Queen of Angels up in O'Fallon and all different places. All different places like that, that are all nonprofits that kind of do the same thing that we do.
Mm-hmm. How is this a change? Your faith journey. How has your relationship with God and your faith journey grown as a result of all this?
It has grown immensely. I read every night at least a chapter. I asked my mom for the first time ever in my life. I wanted a study Bible for my Christmas present, and she got me the Common English Bible. Mm-hmm. Study Bible, and then she got me other things. She actually works at a church, so she's got me a lot of reading material, and I'm learning a lot more than what I knew about, you know, Jesus and the Bible itself. And my husband, he's very knowledgeable when it comes to that. So there's things that he, you know, he's teaching me along the way when I don't understand things. So he can, you know, help point it out or tell me this is what they're talking about or this is what they mean.
Yeah. And you can kind of relate your personal experience to what you're reading in the Gospels, right? When you see that Jesus reached out to those who were, whose society, I mean, let's face it, you were a heroin addict. So there's a large segment of society that would just written you off. I mean, you're damaged goods. I'm talking about from their vantage point. I would never believe that. I'm just saying that's how society looks at certain segments of the population, right? You're garbage. You're not of any value. But that's not the message that God said to you, is it? He said, "You are my child. You are made in my image and likeness." And
exactly.
And it was the religious leaders of the day who thought they were something special that really, in fact, weren't. And that's why Jesus reached out to the lost and the forsaken, the, you know, the lost sheep, so to speak, the outcasts. And that's what you're doing. Have people been receptive to it, or do you find that is there a lot of people who have lost hope? Or are you finding that people are open and receptive to hearing the message of the Bible?
You know, I've had it go both ways. But the thing that I come to realize that not everybody's going to agree with what I'm doing, and that's okay, because if blessings are miracles to me, and if I want that to be faith-based because that's what I want it to be, and that's how what I feel it should be, then that's what it's going to be. If people that don't like it, you know, then you don't have to walk the journey with me, because I'll have this many more walk the journey with me that will truly be there for me, because they understand I'm going through as well as I are.
And are there plans to grow? Are there plans to expand what you're doing beyond Missouri to other places?
I am really wanting to. I would love to go worldwide. Actually, over Alignable, I've made a lot of great connections down in Hawaii, Puerto Rico, all over the Philippines. I've made a lot of great connections. And, you know, I thought that it would just be something small. But then I was like, oh, well, we can go to the whole United States, you know, because I got connections on the East Coast. And then I'm like, no, wait, now I got connections all over the world. I'm like, you know, this can really go big. And I've never flown before. And I know this is a little off subject, but I feel like that's one of the things that God's going to help me accomplish along the way, because I know there's bigger and better things to come. And I know I'm going to be up on that plane and I'm going to be going doing great things all over the world with my twins and my husband, just doing what God wants me to do. And right now, as much as I'm doing blessings and miracles, I'm also being pushed towards speaking, public speaking.
That's fantastic. So do you have any public speaking engagements lined up yet?
Well, I have with Village of Moms SDL. They have their third cafe coming up as a Zoom event that I was asked to speak with. And then there is another radio talk show that I am speaking with about actually going on and being a part of their talk show.
That's fantastic. So you said you've never flown before. So I have flown on a plane one time for like an hour and a half in my life. So this trip to Israel is a completely new experience for me. I've never been out of my own time zone. So even talking now to somebody that's in a different time zone, I've literally never been out of my own time zone. And now here I am going to be flying 7,000 miles to Israel. So it's just, I'm just identifying with what you're saying as how God can just revolutionize your life when you allow him to take control. And so you're actually going to be trying to connect with people in places like the Philippines. And so what are you trying to do? Trying to kind of implant what you're doing here, there, and let them run their own autonomous group based on the template that you've made here?
I would like to do that, but I would also like to go over there myself and start it, and so that I can meet members of the community and get to know what their needs are in that specific area, because every area's needs are different, and, you know, and what one of their, you know, main problems are and things like that, that we could possibly help fix in their community.
Uh-huh.
Would they be in poverty or, you know, whatever it may be, going over there and helping them build some houses. Yeah, and that's just something that I just literally said off the top of my head. And maybe one day I'll be over there helping them build houses for, you know, the less fortunate, or helping them feed people that are hungry or anything like that. You know,
has your family been supportive of what you're doing for the most part? I know you said your husband is, obviously, but how about the rest of your family? Have they been supportive in what you're doing?
They are very supportive. They are very proud of me. Like I said, I was addicted to drugs for a while, and, you know, I lost contact with a lot of my family members. We had a lot of bad falling outs. But just recently, we got back in, you know, connection, and I was actually able to go to Easter, which I haven't been to a family event in years and years, you know, and they actually trusted me to come to Easter. And that made me feel really good. And they're all telling me how proud they are of what I'm doing. And everybody's like, wait, no, Trisha's doing that? Wait, what did you say she's doing? So it just makes me feel good that they're, you know, trusting me. And they're like, wow, she is doing great things. She did change.
Wow. I'm just so happy for your testimony and what God is doing in your life and with this ministry. And I just hope for continued, you know, blessings for what you're doing. Can you tell our listeners how they could support what you're doing, whether it be financial or what have you, specifically listeners that don't live in your area? So say, you know, I live in Virginia. So how would somebody in Virginia support what it is that you're doing?
You could always find us on Facebook at Blessings Are Miracles. We also have on Alignable, we are Blessings Are Miracles. You can find me on Nextdoor. We have our own website that is through Wix. It's Blessings Are Miracles at Wix.org. And then we could either do financial donations. If you would like to donate products, you could have them shipped to our address. You can, like I said, you could find me on Facebook and or find any of that information just by simply Googling us.
Okay. And are they people actually able to donate right on your website or is it where
yes,
you have so there's credit card processing and everything right on the website?
Yes, sir. Then we also have a link to a PayPal one, too.
That's fantastic. We're going to try to make a donation. I'm going to have to look at we run a tight budget, too. We're small. We're growing. We're not getting a lot of contributions, just like you. But I want to try to support what it is that you're doing. So I'm going to take a look at the numbers and see what we're able to do, but we're going to do something because I definitely am very happy with what you're doing. And I think it's the message of the gospel is that we're to reach out to the outcasts, the people that society has written off. Now, when did you start this again?
Originally, whenever I created the Facebook group, it was December of 2022, and then I got the LLC January 19th of this year. February 13th, we applied for our 501c3, and March the 1st, we applied with the state.
Okay. So the problems that people are facing that you come across over the last few years, does it seem like it's getting worse? I mean, from my vantage point, it seems like things in this country are getting worse as far as families are struggling. Is that your experience?
Yes, I've noticed that a lot. The economy is struggling very bad, and there's a lot more people that were in, you know, normally they'd be the ones that donating that are now are the ones that are in need of.
Yeah. Yeah. And the churches are strapped too because the donations to the churches are down, so their ability to help is diminished. It's really a mess. And if you look at it from a logical standpoint, it doesn't look like there's anything that we can do, but you're not letting that hold you back. You're just marching forward and letting God fill in the blanks. That's
there's always something you can do. If you sit back and think there's nothing you can do, then you're literally wasting time. There's always something you can do.
Yeah. Light one candle. Don't curse the darkness. Light one candle. You may not be able to change the world, but you can change your little corner of the world and helping
one person at a time.
Help one person at a time. That's a beautiful message. Trish, do you have any closing thoughts before we wrap this up?
I'd just like to really thank you for this opportunity. I love the background of the four persons. I really like that story that you have behind it and the reasoning why, you know, it's named what it is. And just for the chance to be able to have a donation coming in from you guys, I'm also extremely thrilled about. And like I said, I'm just so grateful to have this opportunity to speak.
Well, thank you so much. And we will definitely keep you in our prayers, and we ask you to do the same. Trish Nash of NAP of Blessings Are Miracles, thank you for your time, and thank you for coming on, and God bless you for what you do.
God bless you. Thank you.